How are you, Michael?
Oh, I'm pretty good. I'm pretty excited.
Yeah, as am I. Actually, a little birdie's told me, and by a little birdie, I mean yours truly, that this film might be about one of my great loves, cricket.
Well, one of my great loves too. I wasn't actually able to catch a film releasing on the big screen this week, but you can imagine my excitement when I turned on one of my favourite streaming services to find something that combined my two great loves, cricket and cheesy inspirational feel-good drama, that film being 83. This was a time back when India were world cricket's lovable good guys and the ICC, not the BCCI, ran world cricket.
Oh, wow.
83, starring Ranveer Singh, Saqib Saleem, Nishant Dahiya, Hardy Sandhu, Pankaj Tripathi, and Bollywood glamour Deepika Padukone. And it's directed by Kabir Khan, who's made films like Kabul Express and Phantom. They're action dramas.
Okay.
So he likes a good action film, does Kabir Khan. 83 tells the story of India's totally unexpected triumph at the 1983 One Day World Cup in England, through the eyes of fiercely determined captain Kapil Dev, played by Ranveer Singh, and two of his best friends in the team, Mahinder Amarnath, played by Saleem, and Roger Binney, played by Nishant. Now, not even the Indian Cricket Board expected India to do very well in this tournament, having booked the team's departure at the conclusion of the preliminary round
of
the competition. That's correct, yeah. I'm pretty sure some dramatic license was taken in this film, but
it's accurate
that BCCI, I'm not even sure if they were the BCCI at the time, had booked the team's departure.
So proper underdogs and unexpected. Isn't that awesome?
Which is kind of unusual given that India had a population of probably about 800 million at the time and a lot of people played cricket. It's just that India weren't very good away from home. They didn't like it. This is the men's cricket team we're talking. They didn't like it when the pitch was fast and bouncy, and they didn't like it when it was seaming. And given that the tournament was in England, it was certainly going to be
bad seaming. News.
Seaming around in June. The all-powerful West Indies team at the time, featuring the likes of, you know, Michael Holding, Andy Roberts, Viv Richards, Clive Lloyd, Gordon Greenwich, Malcolm Marshall, Joel Garner, Jeff Dujon, and Desmond Haynes, they're all world-class players. They were expected to win their third successive World Cup in a canter. India, by contrast, had only two world-class players, one of them being Kapil Dev and the other one being opener Sunil Gavaskar, backed up by some solid journeymen like Yashpal Sharma, Mahinder Amarnath, Roger Binney, Madan Lal, and a couple of rising stars like Chris Srikanth and Ravi Shastri. There were also a few other teams in the tournament, like Australia, England and Pakistan, who were expected to perform far better than India, who, like I said, traditionally didn't like playing away from home. But what's the film like as a drama? Because we know the results. India did win that tournament in 1983.
I was going to ask that, Michael.
It's a bit hard if, you know, they made the semi-finals and then lost.
But. So, two-part question here for you, Michael.
Yeah.
Is it just a classic kind of cheesy, obviously it's a drama. Is it in a similar vein to, say, Invictus, right, where it's a sporting movie but it makes social commentary? Like, social commentary is, I guess, the vehicle of the film largely. And second part of the question, how is the kind of actual gameplay captured? Because that's one of my biggest gripes whenever you watch a sporting film and you just think that is not what happens in a game. It takes 90 seconds for them to get from one side to the other and people backflip and stuff, you know?
Sure.
What's that like?
Sure. In this film, the mostly Western cricket press and the Lord's cricket establishment, they're kind of portrayed as the boorish, condescending, you know, bordering on racist villains in this film, which
The MCC, being quite, I don't know.
Racist and condescending.
Wow.
Who would have thought? Old white men. And I guess when you look back, and I guess maybe they were. Whilst Kapil Dev and his team of plucky misfits and lovable larrikins like Yashpal Sharma, Syed Kiamani and smoking Chris Srikanth, they do play the underdog heroes determined to prove everyone wrong. And also, we do get a hint of what was happening in India at the time, social context. Of this team. There was a lot of religious rioting and social division in India at the time.
Right.
And Indian Prime Minister Indira Gandhi apparently used the success of the Indian team getting TVs out to across the country
to rally
the nation and get people behind Team India.
Sure.
And, you know, let's forget about our differences.
Is there any rifts in the team itself?
No, they're actually quite a united team.
Awesome.
I mean, the only rift is probably Kapil Dev himself. He's probably not quite as educated or sophisticated as some of the other members of the team.
Right.
Even though he's probably the best player in the team, he feels like there are older,
wiser
heads who perhaps should be the captain. And he's actually quite a shy person. And the film follows him as he develops into a leader, more leading by example rather than leading with speech. Is in English, for him, tend to go wrong,
right.
when he starts speaking English rather than in Hindi, and the rest of the team kind of laugh at him and make fun of him at the start. But of course, given his performances in that tournament, they soon come to respect him appreciate him as a captain and a leader. He does spend a lot of time staring into space in this film, cleaning his boots.
His cricket shoes or just boots?
His cricket boots. You know, cleaning the mud off his spikes. You know, and he's doing it in his hotel room. I don't know why he wouldn't be doing that in the dressing room at the ground after the game, but he apparently takes his muddy boots home and that's where he cleans his boots and does most of his thinking.
Well, it's cathartic, I guess.
Yeah. 83, I guess it's the story of the rising of the sleeping giant in world cricket. Mm. You know, this was the first time India really made their mark on the world stage. Oh, you were talking about the cricket sequences.
You know what I'm talking about. When you watch sporting films, it makes you want to cry sometimes how inaccurate it is.
Yeah, well, the Indian actors have actually captured their cricket quite well. Ranveer Singh does a great impression of Kapil Dev's bowling action and looks quite convincing. However, it's the performances of some of the teams playing against India. Mm. That some of the actors cast, particularly the ones cast as Michael Holding and Joel Garner,
they're iconic actions, right? So you've got to nail it.
Yeah, not quite there. And also just the physiques of these players. I'd never realised Michael Holding was about 5'5" and 5'5" wide. The guy who plays Michael Holding is built like a brick shit house. And the Joel Garner character looks like he would struggle to get the ball down the other end of 22 yards. He's just such a slimly built character. And as for the other teams, mostly white Western players, I think what they've done in this film is just put different wigs and different false mustaches on the same bunch of 11 blokes and just put different coloured caps on them when India play them.
Sure. Does someone play Tony Gregg?
Well, Tony Gregg didn't play in the 1983 World Cup.
Was he around?
He may have been commentating for someone, but the main commentators they use in this film are Farooq Engineer and Brian Johnson, or Johnners as he was known. And again, he's played as the condescending old racist, which actually I don't think Brian Johnson really was. He was actually a generous commentator to all teams, and I mean he probably didn't believe India could win the tournament, but I don't think he was quite the evil villain he's portrayed in this film. Look, 83, I'd describe it as, you know, a solid knock with some entertaining stroke play, but maybe 73 would be a more appropriate score for this film. Look, I could talk forever about it, but
so
I better stop.
I know, we could go off on some real tangents here about cricket, but maybe we're best to leave the lovely listener to a track from The Vacationists. This one's called If You Say So. We can go on. Thanks so much for joining me, Michael.
Pleasure. That's 83, streaming now.